بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. سيد المرسلين وخاتم النبيين ورحمة للعالمين، وصلى الله على آله الطاهرين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. أوصيكم بعباد الله ونفسي بتقوى الله. We just passed the holy month of Ramadan, and the question which comes up, what after Ramadan? How do we maintain this spirit of Ramadan in the months coming all the way till Sha'ban? This was a question which was asked of me in the Ahlul Bayt TV live show on the last Sunday of the month of Ramadan. And I thought maybe I'll share what I had responded to that in this khutbah for the benefit of those who didn't hear that. And just a reminder for myself and you also, that there are three things that we can do in order to maintain that spirit of the holy month of Ramadan. Number one, we had to realize that the whole exercise during the month of Ramadan was to build that willpower where we can give more strength to our spirituality, to the voice of conscience, so that whenever temptations come along the way, we would have that strong ability to resist that and refuse from giving in to the urge of, and the desires that we have. Because we have the desires as well as we have our nafs and aql on the other side. And so this willpower that we have built, increased and accumulated during the month of Ramadan, it would be there. But gradually it will go down and down and down. We don't have to wait till the next Ramadan to build up that willpower. And it's not guaranteed that we will be able to maintain it to that high level that we had in the month of Ramadan. But at least we can maintain it at a reasonable level that it will help us in resisting the temptation to commit sins. And this is where we come to the Islamic teachings, where besides the month of Ramadan, where fasting is wajib, there are certain recommendations in Islam for us. Number one, and this I consider to be the most, you know, useful way of maintaining that spirit, is that there are 3 days in an Islamic month where it is recommended to fast. The first Thursday of the month, the last Thursday of the month, and the 13th after the 10th of each month. So you have this Thursday in the beginning, Thursday in the end, and in between the 13th of the Islamic calendar, the Wednesday, not 13th actually, the Wednesday after the 10th. And so you have, you know, in the beginning, in the middle, and at the end. If we can do that every month, from Shawwal to Sha'ban, at least we will still be in touch with this exercise of, you know, rebuilding or maintaining the willpower to a reasonable manner. Or you can go with another recommendation, where we are told that the 13th and the 14th and 15th, in the middle of this Islamic month, where you do the fasting. I would prefer the first method over the second one, because in the second one, you are just doing it 3 days continuously right in the middle. Whereas if you're doing on the first Thursday, and then the Wednesday after the 10th, And then the last Thursday, you have actually spread it around in the whole month. And there will be more kind of, feeling that sense of fasting. Of course, besides these 3 days, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to do that. Besides that, there are also many other days. You know, in the month of Shawwal, I'll say, okay, you fasted the whole month, so celebrate it. Although it's recommended from the 4th of Shawwal, you see, 3 days is the days of celebration of Eid. I don't know why the people sometimes are so much, we must have 1 day of Eid. Celebrations are for 3 days. Even the recommended fasting in Shawwal starts from the 4th of Shawwal till the 9th of Shawwal. You still have tomorrow if you want to do that. Today is the 8th of Shawwal. And so, but besides that, in the month of Dhul-Qa'dah, 25th and 29th. In the month of Hajj, Dhul-Hijjah, 1st to 9th, the day of Arafah. 18th, which is the day of Ghadir. 24th of Dhul-Hijjah, which is the day of Mubahala. Then even in Muharram, the 1st, the 3rd, and the 7th of Muharram. You can link that to the tragedy of Karbala in that way. And then you go into the month of Rabiul Awwal, Miladun Nabi, the 17th. And then we come to the Rajab, where on the 27th, which is the day of Mi'raj and the day of Bi'sat. So these are the special days. But, these are good. What I would say is that if we can start that 3 days in the month, the first Thursday, the last Thursday, and the Wednesday in between after the 10th, that will be, this is where we will be able to maintain that spirit of, maintaining the willpower that we have gained during the month of Ramadan. Salawat. The second, issue of the month of Ramadan is that at the end of this month, we had this day of celebration, Eid al-Fitr. And on that day, the tradition is that it is mandatory for everyone, as those who are the head of the families, to give charity, wajib, known as Zakat al-Fitr, or Fitra as we call it. And this, I mentioned even in one of the last talks that I had during the month of Ramadan here, that fitra, the way I look at it, is that after fasting for all, 29 or 30 days of the month, on the day of celebration, Allah says, before you go for your celebration of Namaz Eid, or before Zuhr, you have to pay just charity. The example I used, and I would like to repeat it here, that it's just like, the father who is teaching his son or daughter how to walk. And once the child reaches, he will hold the hand of the child to help the child to walk. Until the child reaches to a stage where the father realizes, now maybe the child should walk on his own or her own. And so the father lets go of the hand. The day of Eid al-Fitr is the day where Allah is holding our hand. And he says, I'm teaching you. Before you celebrate, share what you have with those who are less fortunate. And then he leaves, lets go of our hand, hoping that we will continue in that path of charity after that. And so that is actually continuing that message of Ramadan, where we pray according to the dua of the Prophet, where we used to say, اللهم أغن كل فقير اللهم أشبع كل جائع اللهم أكس كل عريان, where we pray for those who are in need, those who are hungry, and those who don't have decent clothing. And this way we will be able to maintain that process of sharing the blessings that Allah has given to us with others. And the final point was the issue of the integral part of the month of Ramadan was Quran and dua. And we had to maintain that. In the ahadith we are told, لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ رَبِيعٌ. Everything has a spring season. وَرَبِيعُ الْقُرْآنِ شَهْرُ رَمَضَانِ. The spring season of Ramadan, of Quran, is the month of Ramadan, because in that month everybody is reciting the Quran. But do not let the other 11 months become the cold winter season for the Quran. Maintain that, you know, spring season in that way by reciting the Quran. The du'as are there. You know, we do it because we need it anyway. But when it comes to Quran, and this is where we see quite a lot in the ahadith of the Ahlul Bayt, you know, what is the minimum that we should read? And I'm not talking only reciting, you know, Surah Yasin on Thursdays. How many surahs are there in the Quran? 114. Yes, Surah Yasin is very good. You know, we do that for Isa alayhi salam of the Marhumeen. But that's not the only surah in the Quran. Sometimes, you know, we see in Surah Fatiha, in Majlis Fatiha, we have Surah Yasin. Even in wedding, we have Surah Yasin. You know, we have so many other surahs in the Quran. The different situation, different, you know, surahs can be recited. And this is where, you know, we have to keep in mind that when it comes to the recitation of the Quran, just one hadith which gives an indication. How much should you recite, minimum, on a daily basis? There is a hadith that we have from our fifth imam quoting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Where he says, من قرع عشر آيات في ليلة لم يكتب من الغافلين. Whoever recites, the Prophet says, 10 ayat in night, you can do it in day also, there's no problem, he will not be included in the list of those who are ghafileen, those who are heedless to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then from that 10 ayat, then the numbers go up and up. It's a long hadith, I'm not going to read the whole one. From 10 it goes to 50, from 50 to 100, 100 to 200, then it goes up and up. And for every number, there is a different designation given that he will be included among so and so. But at least here we see the minimum number in this hadith is 10 ayat per day or night, where then a person will not be included among the ghafileen. So let us remember, you know, how to maintain the spirit of the month of Ramadan during the remaining months until we come to the next month of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Inna ahsan al-hadith kitabullah al-aziz, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wal asr, inna al-insana lafi khusr. إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحليم الكريم غافر الذنب وقابل التوبة وهو الغفور الرحيم. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا هو العتوف للعباد بجوده والعواد على المذنبين بحلمه. ونشهد أن محمدا نبيه وحبيبه. سيد المرسلين وشفيع المذنبين ورحمة للعالمين صلى الله عليه وآله الداعين إلى سبيل الله بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة قادة الأمم وأولياء النعمة ومعدن الرحمة. أوصيكم عباد الله بالتوبة عما سلف من ذنوبكم. Today also happens to be the 8th of Shawwal. It is the anniversary of the tragedy which took place in the year 1343, where the Wahhabis demolished the shrines of the Ahlul Bayt. So 8th Shawwal 1443, which was 2nd May 1925. And they basically demolished the shrines which were there on the Ahlul Bayt, on the graves of the Ahlul Bayt, as well as the monuments which were there on the graves of the wives of the Prophet and the, some of the companions of the Prophet in Jannatul Baqi. We talked about it briefly yesterday. As far as their ideology is concerned, the problem they have is that they consider this whole issue of visitation to the shrines of the prophets and the imams and the awliya to be shirk and idol worshipping. They do not differentiate between what is known as respecting, ta'zeem, and what is known as ibadat. Ta'zeem of the sha'airullah, the symbols of Allah, is actually encouraged in the Quran itself. And respecting and worshiping is not one and the same thing. And this is where, you know, they also consider in their ideology, the Wahhabis, that all the Muslims who do not agree with our version of Islam, they are all infidels. They're all kafir. Now, if this was only in the books and ideas, we could have still lived with it. But the problem is that these ideas then manifested in action. And the issue was escalated to a level that they started propagating that such infidels should be either converted or killed. And this is where we see this menace of Wahhabism, supported with the petrodollars, gradually spread to the Muslim world. All the violence that we see in the Muslim world can be traced back to that. We saw the manifestation of Taliban in Afghanistan. That was the first visible, you know, manifestation of violence against other Muslims. It extended to Pakistan. We know the situation there against the Shias and other minorities. It went on. You know, in Iraq and Syria, it took the form of ISIS. ISIS actually, from their point of view, is actually a new and improved version of Wahhabism. The only problem is that when ISIS came to haunt them, when Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi claimed to be the Khalifa, if he had not done that, they were still good guys in their books. It was that claim of Khilafat which actually, you know, disqualified them from friendship with the Wahhabis. And so all the roots of violence that we see in the Muslim world goes back to this ideology of Wahhabism and the Saudi regime. Their hand can be seen in Syria also. You know, the rebels were supported by them. And also what we see now, what's going on in Yemen now. And it's amazing, you know, they can go to different countries, finance them, support them, and they say, oh, we are the good guys. If somebody sitting on the other side of the Persian Gulf is the bad guy. You know, and this is where, you know, it reminds me of the statement made in 2015. There was a report which came out from the European Union about sources of supporting and financing terror extremism in Europe. And that report officially actually traces everything back to Saudi Arabia and UAE. You know, if you look at the remarks that I have in my notes of those days, the former Greek finance minister, Yanis Varoufakis, he actually, in an interview with the London's Middle East Eye, when he was talking about the solution of eliminating ISIS and other similar groups, he says, bombing them is not going to help. That is not the solution. You will not be able to bomb them. And so he says, what is the solution? He responds to that, the only solution is to starve ISIS by tackling Saudi Arabia and the Emirates that are supporting them. That is the root. If you're able to control them, ISIS will die by itself. And yet, Saudis, even now, till today, are the good guys in the eyes of the United States of America and many, you know, Western countries. Saudi's footprints are everywhere in the Muslim world, wherever there is violence. All the way to Africa, North Africa, South Africa. You look at Indonesia, you know, everywhere, wherever there is violence, you know, the footprints of Saudi Arabia is there. And yet, their finger is pointing towards Iran. And this is the irony of the times that we are living in. And this is where we see that, you know, when it comes to the issue of what is haq and what is batil, you know, all these slogans of democracy, the issues of, you know, human rights, these are all slogans and nothing else. There's no value to it. This is only useful when they don't like somebody, they will use all those labels against them. When it comes to their own people, where there is no democracy, no human rights, nothing, they are all fine, as long as they are fulfilling their strategic interest in that region. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hasten the appearance of the peacemaker on a global level as soon as possible, inshallah. اللهم صل على سيد المرسلين والشفيع المذنبين نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وعلى إمام المتقين وأمير المؤمنين علي بن أبي طالب صلوات الله عليه وعلى سيدة نساء العالمين سيدتنا فاطمة بنت رسول الله صلوات الله عليها وعلى سيد الشباب أهل الجنة الحسن المجتبى والحسين الشهيد بكربلاء عليهم الصلاة والسلام اللهم صل على أئمة المسلمين علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي عليهم الصلاة والسلام اللهم صل على مولانا الحجة بن الحسن صاحب العصر والزمان ماحي أصار البدو والطغيان هادم أبنية الشركة والنفاق حاسد فر البغض والشقاق صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى آبائه الكرام ما اتسلت الليالي والأيام اللهم عجل فرج وصح المخرج واكحل ناظرنا بنظرة منا إليه واجعلنا من المستشهدين بين يديه اللهم اجعلنا ممن يذكر فتنفعه الذكرى إن الله يعمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون